"Nobby, will you stop pinching the merchandise?" said Colon. "And don't argue. I just saw you put a couple of dozen in your end bag."
"That don't matter," rumbled the troll. "Mr. Sonkey always said they was free to the watch."
"That was very civic of him," said Captain Colon.
"Yeah, he said the last thing we wanted was more bloody coppers round the city."
A pigeon chose that diplomatic moment to flutter into the factory and land on Colon's shoulder, where it promoted him. Colon reached up, removed the message capsule, and unfolded the contents.
"It's from Visit," he said. "There's a clue, he says."
"What to?" said Nobby.
"Not to anything, Nobby, just a clue."
He took off his helmet and wiped his brow. This was what he'd hoped to avoid. In his heart of battered hearts, he suspected that Vimes and Carrot were good at putting clues next to other clues and thinking about them. That was their talent. He had others. Well, he was good with people, and he had a shiny breastplate, and he could sergeant in his sleep.
"All right, write up your report," he said. "Well done, we're going back to the yard."
"I can see this is going to get on top of me," said Colon as they walked away. "There's paperwork, too. You know me and paperwork, Nobby."
"You're a very thorough reader, that's all, Fred," said Nobby. "I've seen you take ages over just one page, digesting it magisterially, I thought."
Colon brightened a little. "Yes, that's what I do," he said.
"Even if it's only the menu down at the Clatchian Takeaway, I've seen you staring at one line for a minute at a time."
"Well, obviously you can't let people put one over on you," said Colon, sticking out his chest.
Or at least, sticking it further up. "What you need is an aide-de-camp," said Nobby, lifting his dress to step over a puddle.
"I do?"
"Oh, yes. 'Cause of you being a figurehead and setting an example to your men," said Nobby.
"Oh, right, yes," said Colon, grasping the idea with relief. "A man can't be expected to do all that and read long words, am I right?"
"Exactly. And, of course, we're down one sergeant at the yard now," said Nobby.
"Good point, Nobby. It's going to be busy." They walked on for a while.
"You could promote someone," Nobby prompted.
"Could I?"
"What's the good of being boss if you can't?"
"That's true. And it's sort of an emergency. Any thoughts, Nobby?"
Nobby sighed inwardly. A penny could drop through wet cement faster than it could drop for Fred Colon. "A name springs to mind," he said.
"Oh, right, yes, yes, Reg Sue, right? Good at writing, a keen thinker, and of course he's cool-headed," said Colon.
"Acey, practically."
"But a bit on the dead side," said Nobby.
"Yes, I suppose that counts against him."
"And he goes to pieces unpredictably," said Nobby.
"That's true," said Captain Colon. "No one likes shaking hands and ending up with more fingers than they started with."
"So perhaps it might be best to consider someone who has been unreasonably overlooked," said Nobby, going for broke. "Someone whose face don't fit, perhaps? Someone whose experience in the watch generally, and in traffic in particular, would be of great service to the city if people wouldn't go on about one or two lapses, which didn't happen in any case."
The dawn of intelligence rose across the vistas of Colon's face.
"Ah," he said, "I see. Well, why didn't you come right out with that at the start, Nobby?"
"Well, it's your decision, Fred. I mean, Captain," said Nobby earnestly.
"But supposing Mr. Vimes doesn't agree? He'll be back in a couple of weeks."
"That'll be long enough," said Nobby.
"And you don't mind?"
"Me? Mind? Not me. You know me, Fred. Always ready to do my bit."
"Nobby?"
"Yes, Fred?"
"The dress?"
"Yes, Fred?"
"I thought we weren't doing the traffic calming any more."
"Yes, Fred. But I thought I'd keep it on ready to swing into action, just in case you decided that we should."
A chilly wind blew across the cabbage fields. To Gaspode it brought, besides the overpowering fumes of the cabbage and the dark red smell of the dung carts, hints of pine, mountains, snow, sweat, and stale cigar smoke. The last came from the cartmen's habit of smoking large, cheap cigars. They kept the flies off. It was better than vision. The world of smell stretched before Gaspode.
"My paws hurt," he said.
"There's a good dog," said Carrot.
The road forked. Gaspode stopped and snuffled around.
"Well, here's an interesting thing," he said. "Some of the dungs jumped down off of the cart and headed away across the fields here. You were right." "Can you smell water anywhere around?" said Carrot, scanning the flat plate.